studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887 or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org. To order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License, Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling, or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is December 5th, 2013. In turmoil, and most just do not get it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. Our phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. And folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is on our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. At prophecyhour.com, you can find links to all everything in our ministry, whether it's the homeless mission, our links to Facebook, all those different things you can find at prophecyhour.com. You can also find links to our other radio program, which is Mission Watch Live. So go over there and have a visit. And you folks, if you're in about that 15% that does not use the internet, then you're more than welcome to call me with any questions, whether it's about our ministry, our radio guest, or whomever. And tonight, because we got a little bit of a late start, we are going to just talk right through without the break in the middle at the 27 minutes after. We're just going to talk straight through. So first a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I just pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest has been on with us before, but it's been a very long time. His name is Bill Snevelin. Since his miraculous salvation in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, over 28 years ago, Reverend William Bill Snevelin has faithfully been pressed into the calling and anointing of God to teach biblical revelation to the body of Messiah and lead the lost into salvation. A prayer warrior, biblical scholar, and author, he founded With One Accord Ministries in 1992. Since then, the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, has allowed him to minister to thousands across the globe through preaching, books, videos, countless booklets, articles, and tracts. He's earned a master's degree in theological studies in 1980 and a master of arts degree in counseling in 1990. Following the Holy Spirit's lead, he acquired degrees in naturopathic medicine, I guess, and nutritional herbology. He's became a certified natural health professional in 2004. This man's list just goes on, my friends. Anyway, he's listed as Who's Who in Religion. William's newest book, Romancing Death, sheds light on the current pop culture and vampire phenomenon, you know, talking about Twilight. Well, I've seen him speak many times in person on many occasions about many different things when he spoke off and on with the Prophecy Club. And like I say, he's been on radio with us before. And if you want to know about his subject, this is the man to usually ask. Tonight, we will let him tell us about an article he wrote, and he posted it on Facebook, and it drew my attention. The subject is Hanukkah, Spiritual Welfare, Overcoming a Season of Darkness. Are you there with me, Bill?
You bet. Good to be here.
Well, I'm glad you made it. We had a little phone number mess up, so we didn't quite get you quite right on time. But we have you now, so it's a great blessing.
That's the important thing.
Anyway, so did I leave anything out that you'd like to tell the people in that long list of accomplishments?
No, not really. Just that I love the Lord with all my heart, and I want to share my joy with as many people as possible. You know, and of course, for me, part of that is celebrating the feast. You know, like Hanukkah, for example. So, yes, it's a great joy to be here.
Well, amen. It is really good to have you on. But before we get into this, and which is I really can't wait to. I want you to tell the people where your website's at, because I want them to be amazed at all these books that you've written and encourage them to get them, because you've did such great, a lot of great works.
Well, thank you. Yes. Well, we're at With One Accord, WITHONEACCORD.org. And we got a lot of free information there. We have many DVDs, books, so on. You know, lots of different resources for people, including prayers for spiritual warfare and stuff of that nature. So, yeah, we would really welcome people to visit and sign up. We have a newsletter called The Liberator, dedicated to the liberating power of Yeshua the Messiah. And, you know, so that's available, too. We'd be happy to have them on board.
Well, amen. I noticed your while we've just Hanukkah has just gotten over with. most Hanukkah is a feast that much is drowned out because of of what people call Christmas time and everything. But you know, it's a feast that Yeshua kept, but I don't think most people really realize just what it's about. You want to take us into it?
Well, yeah, certainly. It's as you say, it's not in the Torah, but it basically commemorates a great victory that occurred in the Jewish nation back, in the intertestamental period. And it's basically chronicled in the apocryphal works of the Maccabees. And what happened was Israel was conquered by this Greek king named Antiochus Epiphanes. And he was a real, megalomaniac, and he basically forbade the Jews from practicing their faith. He forbade circumcision or Torah reading, and he actually went so far as to erect a statue of Zeus, who is, of course, the king of all the gods in Greek mythology, in the temple of Yahweh. And as a result of that, then he sacrificed a pig on the altar. And there was a band of people, of priests, that came to be known as the Maccabees, and they decided to stand up for the Bible, as opposed to this Greco-Roman philosophy that this Antiochus, this king, was trying to force down everybody's throat. Because, see, in those days, just like today, there were two groups of people that were in, so to speak, the Bible. There were the ones who were very liberal. They were very lackadaisical about their faith. They kind of were what today we might call cafeteria Christians, kind of, I'll take this, but I'll leave that. I don't really do that. I don't really do this. That kind of thing. There were guys like that they were called Hellenized Jews, meaning they were sort of Greekified. And then there were the devout Jews that were led by the Maccabees. And it's interesting because the name Maccabee, it has two meanings. It was not actually their family name. They put the name together as kind of a battle cry. It's the initials of Mikamoka Be'elim Yahuwah, which in Hebrew means "Who is like unto thee, O Yah, among the gods." And it also means hammer. The word Maccabee means hammer. So they proceeded to hammer the Greeks. And after a long, hard struggle, they finally succeeded in defeating this king against all odds. That's why to this day the Jewish people talk about a Nes Gadol, a great wonder happened on this day, a great miracle. And so what happened was they realized they had to rededicate the temple because this king had sacrificed a pig, which is, of course, the ultimate unclean animal, on the holy altar. And they also had to rededicate the oil and make more oil for the menorah. And, of course, it is important to point out the menorah that was in the temple, the candelabra, actually only had seven candlesticks. Now, the one that you see that's associated with Hanukkah actually has nine candlesticks in it, and there's a reason for that we'll get into. But for now, let it suffice to say that they couldn't burn the menorah because they only had one day's worth of clean oil, and they needed 8 days to purify the next batch. Well, this miracle, aside from their victory, this one-day worth of oil burned for 8 days until the new batch was ready. And so that's kind of the superficial level of the story right there. And, of course, since that time, the Jews, they call it the Feast of Dedication or the Feast of Lights, because the word Hanukkah is just the Hebrew word for dedication. And so it's come to be a symbol of the triumph of light over darkness, of the symbol of biblical faith over paganism. And I mean, in this day and age, it's more appropriate than ever. That was kind of the purpose of the article, because we have become an increasingly secular society, I'm meaning here in America, and more people are like the quote-unquote Hellenized Jews of the day of the Maccabees. And we need more zealots. We need more people like, you know, Mattathias Maccabee and his sons, you know, to fight the fight, maybe not necessarily physically fight, but spiritually war, preach the good news against these, not just the powers of overt darkness, but the powers of subtle darkness, people that are compromising, people that are, you know, saying, oh, well, it's not all black and white. We have all these gray areas, you know, and you know, I tell people the trouble with being a middle-of-the-road Christian is that you get run over a lot and you get a yellow stripe down your back. I don't think there is any such thing. I like you.
I have to... Just a moment. I have to laugh about that. It being middle of the road. I never thought about the yellow stripe down their back, but yeah, that really does fit. Amen. You really hit it out of the park there.
So anyhow, you know, that's kind of why we wrote the article, and because it is like at least the first line of the article is a challenging time of year to beat it. Everybody wants you to do Christmas. You know, the stores are blaring, you know, holiday music, and it's being shoved in your face everywhere you go. And of course, many of us have relatives that want to do this stuff. And I'm not like saying, oh, if you keep Christmas, you're going to go to hell. No, that's not the point at all. The point is, though, is that Christmas, and maybe when you talk about this, Christmas is actually very much a pagan construct. And the fact of the matter is that Yahushua was not born on December 25th or anywhere near December 25th. And as your listeners may know, if you look at the Bible in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it talks about the father of Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist, and that he was a priest in the course of Abijah. And since we know from the writings of Josephus when that was, we know that the angel Gabriel came to the temple and spoke to him at a certain time, and then he would have gone home and conceived John the Baptist sometime in the summer. And then we know from, again, the scriptures, Luke 1 and 2, that 6 months later, Mary heard from the same angel about you know, the Almighty's plan for her to bear the Messiah. And so we know that, I mean, everybody pretty much understands that John the Baptist is 6 months older than Yahushua. So
right.
From that, we can see that actually Yahushua was probably conceived right about this time of year, right in the time of Hanukkah, and then he would have been born 9 months later, which would be Feast of Tabernacles.
Well, let me butt in here, and that's pretty, you know, that's the belief that I have in gaining it from the Word. First of all, folks, why wouldn't the Word let us know when it really now is a really important thing, but Bill, for that, the Feast of Light, for light came into the world, Yeshua is the light of the world, so it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful metaphor, and you know, I think it is very much, because you know, like most believers, I believe that a child is actually in the world when it's conceived, not when it's born. And so Yeshua was brought into the world. He appeared in his mother's womb, you know, right at the time of year when everything was darkest, I mean, even in Palestine, you know. And yet he came in, and, you know, as it says in John 1, you know, the light, the darkness tried to grasp it, and the darkness could not comprehend it, and, you know, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And the funny thing is that if you look at that the way it would have said in the Hebrew, it would have said the Word chose a sukkah, a tabernacle, and dwelt among us in flesh. So that hints to the fact that Yahushua would have been born during the feast, quote, the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, amen. And that does make a lot of sense. But, you know, I think while those things, you know, are laid out for, you know, it's laid out right there in the Word. And folks, we're not telling you something that's that you can't go and find. Like Christmas, you can't find it. In fact, everything we see in the Word points to it not being on December 25th. But the point is, let me go with this, Bill. Do you not think that most people's minds are clouded from the doctrines that they've been taught instead of the
word? Certainly. You know, and like it says in Jeremiah 10:2, you know, we're not supposed to learn the ways of the heathen. We're not supposed to do as the heathen do. And what people need to understand is Christmas is actually a pagan holiday. You know, in fact, when I used to be a witch, maybe some of your listeners know that, and, you know, we used to celebrate the Feast of Yule, you know, every December 23rd, which is like the solstice, the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year. And we would laugh at the Christians, these dumb Christians. They think that Jesus was born right now, and we even knew that wasn't true. But they'd done is that the Catholic Church, sometime in the first couple of centuries, decided to take this feast, which was being celebrated in Rome. It was called the Feast of Sol Invictus, the Conquering Sun, S-U-N. It was the Feast of the Sun God. And they just sort of slap a coat of paint on it and say, okay, now it's Christmas. And, you know, you can't do that. You know, the Bible warns about observing the days of the things that the heathens observe. And the funny thing is if you actually do the research, you'll find that all sorts of pagan deities like Osiris and Tammuz and Nimrod and, you know, all these different pagan Elohim, they all basically, you know, are born on December 25th. And, you know, so why celebrate the birthday of a pagan god, you know, when you can just rejoice in the fact that Yahushua was born sometime, you know, in the fall. And in fact, many people believe that they've done the math. Ironically enough, he was actually born in September 11th, 4 B.C. That would have been his actual birthday. But we can't prove that. But that's the best of anybody's, you know, calculation.
Right, absolutely. Back to that. You know, with they don't. You know, I have a problem. My son's in school. You know, and we homeschooled him for a while, but we believed that he should, you know, socialize. And here comes, you know, Christmas every year. And this year, the teacher, you know, she wanted, because they're doing history, they wanted me to come to the school and talk to them about how Jews lived and things like that. And then a week later, you know, we're into Christmas, and they wanted me to bring a Hanukkah and display it with the Christmas tree. And yesterday I refused. I said there's no way that, you know, I would do that. I just would found it degrading to it. And, you know, what do you think? You think I should have let the Hanukkah go next to the Christmas tree?
No, I think you're absolutely right. You know, what fellowship is light with darkness? You know, I think that was a great decision.
Yeah, never.
I'm sure it was probably unpopular at the school, but, you know, I don't know if this was a Christian school or a public, probably was a Christian school, I assume.
Let me give you a little background just for the people, and then we'll get back into our subject. But, you know, most normal, I live out in the country, basically. I live 60 miles from Wichita, and I live in a little town of about 500 people. Yeah, so from my city, you have to go over to the county seat, Marion, 10 miles away. Well, it's basically what you'd call a Christian school. You know, practically everybody around here goes to Christian church. And I'm an oddity because, you know, we don't go to the Christian church. In fact, our church is in Wichita, you know, our mission church. And that's where all my family goes. But so most people would love this place because, you know, they want to celebrate Christmas and Easter. And, you know, there's nobody telling them they can't, except if I say, don't teach my children that. And so I have a bit of a problem with them, you know. So. Anyway.
Well, as long as you speak the truth in love, I think that's the main thing. I mean, you don't want to be like you're in a jihad, you know. You just want to be able to, you know, be loving and explain things to people in a way that expresses the love of Messiah. And if they don't want to receive it, that's fine, you know. But, you know. I mean, I'll tell you, I can't believe, like, you know, like when I'm on Facebook and some of this stuff, how some of these, you know, it's like you prick some little religious spirit inside of them, and they just go berserk. If you, like, you know, attack, you know, like, that Christmas, or if you're not attacking, but even to speak against it in a very delicate way, they just go off on you. And I think it's because they're convicted deep in their heart, and they don't like that.
Well, you know, some one of the biggest things, this is a good subject, you know, a lot of that, it was like when, you know, I kept Christmas for a while, you know, until about, I don't know, 20-some-odd years ago. But the point hardest to get across, like, to my wife, I discovered it first and then shared it with my wife. And it was like, you know, well, how could my mom and my grandma can be wrong? Surely my grandma couldn't be wrong and lied to me all these years. And so there's a generational thing that's involved with this holiday. I mean, you know, from whether it's the Christmas lights that's everywhere, and what, you know, I mean, you got amazed. They sing some beautiful music, but it's at the wrong time of year. But the point is it's embedded into the society so much. It's hard to get through to that. What do you think?
Oh yeah, it is.
Absolutely,
and it is. But yet. The funny thing is I remember years ago I wrote my book on Freemasonry. In that book I talked about how, you know, guys join the lodge because their dad was in it and their granddad was in it, and maybe some other family member they respected was in it. And they think, well, no one, you know, these are good men. They want to join something that was creepy. You know, they want to join something that was wrong. And so on the basis of that, they make these bad decisions. And it's the same thing, you know, not that Christmas I don't think is as bad as being a Freemason, but it's still the same thing. You're trusting that your ancestors knew what they were doing when really they didn't, because they were sold a bill of goods, and then, you know, the people that told them were sold a bill of goods, and on and on and on back, you know, as far as it goes.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
So it isn't an attack on, you know, on them. It's just an attack on the fact that, you know, these people have been sold a bill of goods. That's all we're trying to say. It's not saying that your grandparents or your parents weren't wonderful people, because they were. But still, you know, that the deception stops here. That's what I tell people. Just insist on that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
All wrong.
Well, you know, a lot of folks don't, you know, if they just look a little deeper into some things, I mean, they'll find out things like at one point, Christmas was actually outlawed in the United States as well as in England because of the paganism that went with it. Actually, here's an interesting fact for you folks out there. Now, Bill, because I was talking with the American Civil Liberties Union at one time, just to check on what they had to say about Christmas trees in the school, and this is what they said. And this, listen to this, Christians. They said that they could, because they could not directly connect it to the Christmas holiday, that it had many pagan things in it, that therefore by putting up a Christmas tree wasn't necessarily promoting Christmas at all, because its origin wasn't in Christmas at all. Now, that's a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah, it is, and it just really goes to show people that this is not really a righteous set apart thing to do, even if it's fun. And you see, that's the funny thing. You can make you know, Hanukkah to be fun. I mean, especially if you have kids. I mean, I've heard Jewish parents tell their children, you know, like, well, hey, they only get one night of presents. You get 8 nights of presents.
Yeah,
and, you know, there's traditions and, you know, stuff like that. And there's songs that they sing. I mean, it just, because our culture is so permeated with Christmas, we don't get that, you know. And we just think, oh, this is awful. If you know your kids celebrate Christmas, what are you, like a Jehovah's Witness or something, you know? And, you know, that I've actually had people accuse me of that. And, you know, the funny thing is that the Jehovah's Witnesses are right about this. I mean, I tell people, hey, a broken clock is right twice a day. So, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses can be right about a few things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think the big, you know, if people, I love all of these, you know, And Hanukkah, like I say, the Feast of Light, we just went through it. Our family loves it. All of our children have been raised in it. Thankfully, we discovered the truth. I have three boys and a girl. I didn't ever do Christmas with any of them. You know what I'm saying? I came out of the world, and that was at the same time my wife got pregnant. So they've been brought up, you know, keeping the feast and, you know, keeping the Sabbath. And so, you know, it's been a blessing. But, you know, they see the other things around them, you know. But the point is, if a person really gets into the beauty of some of these feasts, but each one of these feasts, unlike which I'll call secular feast, I'm going to call Christmas a secular feast. The beauty is that all of these are biblical. I mean, you can really see the biblical prophecy in it. You can see Yeshua in it. Where there's nothing back it up. You tell somebody, well, go prove to me your Christmas tree has to do with Christmas, and they'll come back with paganism.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, hallelujah. We just have to kind of gently share the truth with people, and you know, but here's the thing. I believe that when you keep the feast, even a lesser feast like Hanukkah, that you are bringing light and grace into the world. You know, because Yahushua is the light of the world, as you said earlier. And so when you light those candles and then let the world see them, it's like you are proclaiming, you know, on several levels of symbology that, you know, the light of the gospel is here, the light of the Torah is here, Yahushua is here. And in doing so, you are standing against the secularism and, like I said in the article, you know, the syncretism of our age. You know, syncretism is a big word. It basically means everybody just kind of does, they kind of slop together a mashup of, you know, like Christianity and Islam and, you know, maybe Buddhism or whatever and Hinduism and, you know, whatever. And that is the way a lot of people think nowadays. They think it doesn't matter what you believe. You just pick and choose whatever you want to believe. And that's not what Yahushua said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes unto the Father except through me. And, you know, that's a message that nowadays is very unpopular. When you light those candles, you're proclaiming that message.
Yeah, amen. I totally agree with that, and I think that it's really important. I think Hanukkah and what happened with Antiochus, you know, is kind of shadow of what the Antichrist will do. But let's go. Do you believe that?
Yes, very much so. I think, you know, even though it's not in the inspired scriptures, I mean, it's still a type. And I think it's a type of what's going to happen with the Antichrist in the end times, you know. And it could be sooner than we think. And that, I think, is very important to understand. That, you know, once again, like the book of Revelation says, you know, he's going to come, meaning the Antichrist is going to come into the temple, and he's going to declare himself as God, because what many people don't realize is the guy's name, Antiochus Epiphanes, the last part of his name, Epiphanes, actually means the manifestation of God. And, you know, he had no problem with ego, not one bit of problem. He thought he was a living God. And that's why the Antichrist will think he's a living God. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if a similar sort of thing is done in the temple that's being built or will be built, you know, before the coming of Antichrist. Except that I think that instead of offering a pig, they're going to be offering human sacrifice on that temple's altar. I mean, Yahuwah forbid, but that's how I see it coming. So I think it's very much a type what will happen at the end times, and we're ripe for it, because right now America in particular and Western Europe also, the vast majority of the people are all like these Hellenized Jews. They just kind of think, oh, well, whatever, you know, I mean, I believe this, but I don't believe that. And that's what they do. And because of that, you know, they're being overrun in Europe by Islam. you know, which of course is very much an Antichrist religion. So, you know.
Yeah, let me brush on that a moment. You know, you said earlier the only way to the Father is through the Son, and that's Yeshua. And, you know, he who denies the Son denies also the Father, and that's the spirit of Antichrist. And we have a huge group of people out there now, Bill, as I'm sure you well know, that try to say Allah and our Father, Yahweh, is the same God. Well, but they say that Allah has no Son, so that's the spirit of Antichrist, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I did a whole talk called Israel, Islam, and Biochemical Terrorism we have on our website, where I contrast biblical Christianity with Islam. And there's just the Allah is very much different from the Almighty Creator of the universe that's seen as the, you know, as the character of the Bible. So yeah, it's a totally different thing, and people that say that kind of stuff are obviously very woefully ignorant of the scriptures.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, you know, in America, you know, we've come to a point where I guess it's the truth really isn't being passed down to the younger generations. And, you know, the spirit of politically correctness, which is of the devil, I believe, that's washing over America. And, you know, the truth is just being suppressed. And I think we're going to see some really bad things. What do you think? What's in store for America? Any thoughts?
Well, I try to be optimistic, but it's getting harder and harder. I mean, I pray that revival will break out. I pray that people will come back to faith and repent. And I know people are hoping and praying for that, but, you know, it's just like, at what point does America tip, you know, over the precipice? And both spiritually and to the netting of economically and socially and in every other way, but I mean especially spiritually. And how long, you know, I think 20 years ago Billy Graham said if you know, pretty soon the Almighty is going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for what, because he's let America get away with so many more things than Sodom and Gomorrah ever even dreamt of doing.
And that was 20 years ago. I mean, look at it.
It's a whole lot worse now. So,
well, let's go with this thought. Look, what America, you know, at some point, I mean, we were sending missionaries into the world and proclaiming the name of Yeshua. But now, what are we putting forward? We're putting all these smutty movies forward. We're saying it's okay to change marriage, that homosexuals can marry, you know, gay lesbianism, saying it's all right. It's all over our TV. I mean, I remember 20 years ago seeing little news clips from Japan about how Japanese men and women were wearing cowboy suits, you know, because they thought it was cool because they're seeing it on American TV. Well, what are they emulating now? And so won't we have to answer for that?
I think so. I do. Because although in many ways it's ironic, a lot of this stuff has sort of percolated over here from Europe. You know, I mean, basically, I mean, mm-hmm. I've heard people say that Obama's trying to make America like Sweden, you know, which is, I've never been to Sweden, but as I understand it, it's extremely liberal, socialistic, you know, all that stuff. And that's what's happened to America. So in some respects, you know, the American culture is really very, very omnipresent in the world because of our media, because of the internet. And you're right. I think because we have stopped projecting a Christian image, and instead of projecting all this unrighteous behavior, you know, Miley Cyrus and Britney Spears and, you know, violent movies and homosexual marriage and all these different things going on. I mean, yeah, I think we'll have to answer that because most people look at America and think, oh, this is a Christian nation. That's what they think. And that, you know, I mean, I think a large number of people in America are Christians, but I think the leadership of America has become increasingly antichrist.
Yeah, absolutely. And my thought has been this, and here's another question for you. Well, I believe that there are more Christians in America than there are of the evil or the bad people, however you want to put it, the unsaved. then why are we being, why is Christianity, it seems to, it seems to be silent, whereas if we just stood up and spoke, there was more of us. So why do you think the church is being silent, or are they?
There's no zeal. That's the problem. I heard a quote years ago from Billy Sunday, who was a famous preacher back around the first part of the 20th century, and he said that blood would run in the streets before Christians would let prayer be taken out of our schools.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, 40 or 50 years after that, that's what happened, and there was hardly a peep, because we have become so sheep-like and so docile, and, you know, we've allowed this abortion holocaust to go on since, you know, I guess 1970-something when Roe v. Wade went through. And, you know, I mean, it's just like, because, and I'll tell you this, part of this is all these preachers that are 501c3 corporations, and they toe the line to the government instead of having their king be Yahushua. And
right.
they preach invariably, you know, Romans 14, you have to obey the government in all things. You can't speak out against the government. You know, and that's, frankly, that's bullpucky. You know, it's totally unscriptural. And it's not what any of the prophets of the Old Testament or the New Testament would have preached. But because of that, Americans have become basically kind of pietistic. And they think, oh, well, as long as we're praying and we're going to church on Sunday, we'll be a light unto the whole world. And yet while they've been doing that, all the money and all the power has shifted over to these secular people because, like, for example, homosexuals, for the most part, are very rich. They've poured millions of dollars, billions of dollars into the media. So now you can't hardly watch anything on TV anymore without seeing, you know, homosexuality being promoted. And, you know, that really, I think that does a lot to silence the majority of people that are, in fact, Christians, to what degree, you know, is maybe debatable. But, you know, and here's my concern. You know, when Christians started doing things like getting rid of the Sabbath, getting rid of the Torah and all of that, which I know has been going on for centuries, at what point, you know, it's like leaven getting into the lump, you know. And I think the leaven has just gotten more and more into the lump until today. Modern-day Christianity is like 90% leaven and 10% good, decent bread, if you'll pardon the metaphor. And that's why most Americans that are Christians they don't have the zeal, they don't have the courage, they don't have the boldness to speak out and, you know, do what needs to be done.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I witnessed, you know, talk to a lot of people. We have a mission church in Wichita that we witness to the homeless and the poor, and of course we have Sabbath congregation and everything. But point being is you know, you ask most Christians, you know, and you say, well, do you know what sin is? They really will stumble around on it, and you come up with all kinds of different answers, and the answers that they come up with, like, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself, when they do come up with that one, they say, well, that's it, and they say, well, I tell them, well, wait a minute, you just told me the Torah was done away with, that came from the Torah, so if the Torah was done away with, you can't, I mean, you know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They've lost the and that's what the Torah is, the instructions. It's not lots, the instructions.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. And it's our marriage contract to the Father. I mean, if you are a believer in Yahushua, your wedding contract is the Torah, and the Sabbath is the sign of your marriage to Him. And if you aren't, you know, I tell people, hey, if you aren't keeping the Sabbath, it's like a guy that runs around and refuses to wear a wedding ring just in case he wants to cat around a little on the side. I mean, it shows a lack of commitment. And that I think, is part of the problem today with American Christianity, is they don't have any commitment because they don't know what to commit to, because the preachers don't tell them. And, it's just kind of like the blind leading the blind, and they both end up falling in a ditch. And I know years ago I heard somebody say, you know, that the pew can never rise higher than the pulpit. And if the pulpit is preaching lawlessness, then that's what's going to be in the pew. Except for the fact that you'd be amazed how many people call our ministry and they're saying, we're trying to get our church on board with this stuff, and the pastor won't. You know, they're actually ahead of the game. They're ahead of the pastor. And that's kind of pathetic, you know, when the pastors are behind the people. So, you know.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the state of things. We are very much in a Laodicean age. And that's what we're getting. We're getting, you know, this lukewarm, you know, vomit-producing Christianity. I'm trying to be kind of delicate there, but...
Well, amen. I understand, because, and you know, just a small... I got a couple comments to make. Number one, that about Facebook. You know, I'm hit and run on Facebook. I'll go make a comment and just not go back for a week. So I don't get saying, have to put up with the all the vileness, but... point being is that there is, I have noticed, and more so in the last 10 years, and with the, some call it the Messianic movement, some call it the Hebrew Roots movement, so I just call it Back to Truth movement. I see a lot of people that are moving out of the church, the organized church, and starting a lot of home churches, more than I've seen before, and because they're tired of being fed lies, you know, and so they're doing it at home.
Mm-hmm. And that is, of course, the New Testament church. I mean, the New Testament church doesn't have giant, you know, crystal cathedrals or huge things with giant phallic symbols on top of them or anything like that. They met in each other's homes. And that's fine.
Yeah, amen.
And let me make one quick thing before we close here, just to kind of have a brief comment back to our topic. If anybody wants to know more about this whole thing about Hanukkah and how it relates to spiritual warfare, we do have a DVD that's available on our website, and it's called Hanukkah Lights of Liberation. So, by all means, if this is kind of wet your whistle and you'd like to have more information, on our website again is www.withoneaccord.org. So, just like Acts chapter 2, withoneaccord.org.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, wherever you're listening to this in the archives, there will be a direct link to his website, and I'm going to make a link to your products page that will be there, because I think, Bill, or they also need this other one that you wrote a while back. It's called Blood on the Doorpost, about spiritual warfare, and I think it's also a really good book for this time. Or I guess is it a DVD too, or just a book?
No, it's a book. Blood on the Doorpost, the book.
Yeah, but amen, folks. You should really check out all of Bill's stuff. But, Hanukkah, Lights of Liberation, and there's a lot more to it than the little bit that we've scratched on. And that's probably my fault, Bill, is just because you're such an interesting character, I had to take you all over the board there.
Well, it's been fun, believe me.
All right. Well, you know, most people don't really, I've watched the progression and heard you talk about a lot of things, you know, Mormonism and witchcraft, all sorts of different things. And I really thank you for your life in Yeshua and your willingness to share, and even at the risk of your own life. So, brother, thanks for being on with me. And any last words you want to say to the people, or parting words?
I just think that people need to really study these things out and be a Berean, like in the book of Acts, and don't necessarily trust what their pastors are saying, because it's clear in the Bible that we are to obey the whole Bible, not just what Paul said, not just what Peter said, but the whole counsel of Yahuwah. And you know, like Paul himself said, our inner man should delight in the law. And I would just ask them, do you delight in the law of Yahuwah? And if not, then you maybe need to ask yourself, well, why not? What's wrong with me? And, you know, pray about it. Study this stuff out. And then we have resources on our website that can help you. So, you know, check us out.
Well, absolutely. You have a lot over there. Anyway, folks, make sure you check it out, whip1accord.org. And wherever you're listening to this, if you're listening to it in the archives, and or if you're listening at our website right now, and in about 30 minutes, there will be a link up there to his website to those of you that are listening live, and that will be on the podcast. Well, Bill, thanks for being on with me, but I'm going to have to say goodbye and shalom to you so I can say my goodbyes. All right.
Okay.
Thanks
shalom.
For being on. Shalom.
Yeah. Bye.
Well, folks, Bill has did a lot of things in his life. He's been a Freemason. He's been into witchcraft, Freemasonry. He's been in the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. His life is just a pretty miraculous thing. Anyway, you should check out his website. But most of all, this DVD, Hanukkah, The Lights of Liberation, with this season, I'll tell you what. Give it to, if you folks out there are already celebrating Hanukkah, get it and give it to one of your relatives that celebrate Christmas. Give them a present and, you know, say, well, here's our Hanukkah present to you, and give them this DVD. I think that would be a good idea. Bill's on, if you just go William Snevelin and go Facebook, or Bill Snevelin Facebook, you'll find him on Facebook. We'll put a link to that up too, but, you know, pray about it. I really got to get out of here. I keep talking forever and get myself in trouble with the producer. I got about 30 seconds. I want to remind you, please, I didn't have time for a commercial tonight. Please pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really need your help after Thanksgiving and in December, which is our deadest month for donations. Lord our God, Father, King of the whole universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that Father Yahweh blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.